From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio.
Science and technology that's accessible and entertaining.
If we can understand it, you can understand it.
I'm Lynn Ware Peake.
And I'm John Wells. Earlier this year, the Hubble Space Telescope celebrated its 30th anniversary, double the original mission duration. And today, NASA is releasing a new collection of images, 30 celestial sites in celebration of its 30 years. Today, we're joined by Dr. Jennifer Wiseman, and she is with us to describe some of these amazing images and tell us how we can observe these objects in the night sky. When we post the podcast of the show to kpcw.org, we'll also post the link to these historic pictures. Welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you. Glad to join you.
I can't think of anything that has pushed scientific education further than the Hubble Space Telescope. And a 15-year mission, we're now double. What are the possibilities for the future?
Well, the Hubble Space Telescope has really exceeded anyone's wildest expectations. It was launched and deployed on the space shuttle back in 1990. And it's had a series of visits from astronauts over the years to repair things and to upgrade things and put in new cameras and so forth. And that's kept the Hubble telescope really at tip-top shape in terms of scientific capability. And so we've all become kind of spoiled, I think, from these images from the Hubble Space Telescope. It's really become everyone's sense of their eye on the sky. And because these servicing missions have been so successful, and we have a tremendous crew of experts on the ground, even though we can't visit it anymore with the space shuttle program, we're able to do a lot of care and feeding of the telescope, if you will, from ground-based technical work and monitoring. We're confident that the Hubble telescope will keep being a very powerful scientific instrument throughout much of this decade and hopefully beyond.
Dr. Wiseman, it's interesting if we think about our exposure in the last 30 years to advances in photographic capability. It's incredible just what we here on Earth have gone through. And so the Hubble Space Telescope, as you say, has had these similar upgrades. What do the latest and greatest photographic technological advances, how does it change? And I think I'm wanting to know specifically about these filters that are able to pick up more of the ghostly nebulas.
Good question. So when the Hubble Space Telescope was first designed, we didn't have a lot of the optical capabilities. We didn't even have data recording capabilities like we do now. I mean, originally it was thought that Hubble, the case that Hubble recorded a lot of information on things like magnetic tape, stuff like this. But we now are, of course, using more up-to-date digital technology, although we're still a little behind on Hubble because it takes years to develop it and then get it installed on a Hubble instrument and then launched and actually deployed on the Hubble. But we are now using Hubble in ways that really weren't envisioned when it was first launched. We have, as you say, the capability of seeing not only visible light with the Hubble Space Telescope, but using different types of detectors and filters, we're able to see infrared light and ultraviolet light. Mm. So this is important when we're studying things, as you say, like these gaseous clouds, these nebulae where stars are still forming. Hubble can see into those clouds a little bit in ways that visible light would be blocked because of the dust in these interstellar clouds. So we can see these nurseries where new stars, and now we know their planetary systems around them, are still forming in ultraviolet light, which is the more energetic, bluer than blue light. We're able to see hot stars and energetic phenomena like what we see when a star explodes, supernova explosions, things like that. All of this gives us a better understanding of what we're trying to study, whether it's planets in our own solar system or other star systems or even distant galaxies, having that kind of panchromatic capability really opens our eyes, if you will, to a universe that we wouldn't otherwise be able to see or understand.
Dr. Wiseman, I wanted to ask you about one of the images. It was C40, which is it shows the heart of a beautiful spiral galaxy with the galactic bulge, which implies that there might be a very large black hole there. You know which one I'm speaking about?
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, perfect. So the question that I had, when we were speaking last April with Dr. Michelle Thaler, she was telling us that one of the things that came out of Hubble, as far as what we have learned, is that in our early universe, there are some some really large black holes that are possibly billions of times larger than our own sun. Have we learned any more about that as time's gone by?
Absolutely. So I'm this particular object that you mentioned, Caldwell 40, is one of these new images that we have just released from Hubble. And the Caldwell nomenclature is because these images are all coming from a catalog of objects in space called the Caldwell catalog. These are bright objects, galaxies, nebulae, star clusters. Hubble has observed these, so you can see them in great detail. And we've posted the images on the Hubble website, nasa.gov/Hubble. This particular object that's given the label Caldwell 40 is, as you say, a galaxy that we think has in its core a supermassive black hole. So this is a collection of much mass condensed into the core of the galaxy, so much so that it's condensed into a tiny volume, creating an enormously strong gravitational field. Now, as you say, Hubble has really played a key role in our understanding of black holes. We can't see a black hole, kind of by definition, because light is trapped by the strong gravitational force. It's distorting space-time so much that even light cannot get out of this pit of gravitational pull. But we can see the motions of material around black holes. And sometimes this material is moving very fast as it accretes onto a disk around the black hole and as it orbits black holes. And Hubble has been watching and looking for this type of activity around the cores of galaxies for many years now. It was the first telescope to confirm the existence of supermassive black holes in the cores of galaxies. And now what we're doing with Hubble is learning a whole lot more about the nature of the material around the cores of galaxies swirling around and into the supermassive black holes, and learning something about the galaxies themselves. You know, how do the types of galaxies that we're looking at compare with the types and masses of the supermassive black holes at their cores? And we do see correlations between the galaxy type as a whole, which Hubble is also very good at looking at, and the nature of what's going on in that mysterious core.
You know, I'm wondering, one of the things that you're talking about with the release of these new images on the 30th anniversary of the Hubble Space Telescope is that for the casual backyard observer, we can also observe these images, albeit in a very, shall we say, muted form. I'm looking at Caldwell 15, which has this incredible amount of color. It's this lime green emanating throughout its nebulous, and these red dots, and you know, and then reading in the text below, it's talking about how this Caldwell 15, discovered by British astronomer William Herschel back in 1793. So it was observable. The Hubble Space Telescope has just allowed us to get a better view of it. But what are we going to see in our, you know, from our backyard telescope that will help us by first viewing the Hubble image and then viewing what we can?
Good question. So this particular object that Hubble has observed that you mentioned, Caldwell 15, is something that's kind of I'll say erroneously dubbed a planetary nebula, because astronomers in many years past thought that these might be have something to do with planets, but they don't. These are gas clouds surrounding old stars, stars that are actually dying. And as they go through this process of dying, they will expel part of their outer atmospheres and create this kind of cloud around them. And sometimes these nebulae can be quite spectacular looking. So this is one of those very spectacular nebulae around an old dying star. In fact, some would call it a dead star. The one in the middle of this has already cooled off into something we call a white dwarf. So there's a white dwarf star in the middle of this. And sometimes these older stars, as they are going through these latter phases, have some interesting phenomena. Some of the material is being expelled, some of it's being actually falling into the star, but then being ejected in these bipolar jets due to activity around the star. And you can see all that in this image from Hubble. Now, you ask, what can we see from our own telescopes? You wouldn't be able to see that kind of detail. But what you could see is the nebula itself, the kind of cloudy emission that you can tell it's not just a single point star, that there's something going on around that star. And that's what you're looking at, is the nebulous material that surrounds the cocoon, or if you will, around this aged dying star. So it is true that the Hubble Space Telescope can see much more detail than any of us can see with our own eyes or even with our own telescopes on the ground, but it is still a really thrilling experience to look up with your own eyes and see some of these things in space. So you know that they're not just imaginary objects on your computer screen, that they actually exist out in the universe, and finding them is a great feeling of accomplishment. So if you go to the catalog of Caldwell objects, again, all of these come from a catalog. These objects are in a catalog called the Caldwell catalog, which are bright objects that can be seen sometimes with your own telescopes. You can click on each object and it will give you a finder chart where you can actually use to go and look in the night sky if you are in a dark place, and if you so choose to try to find it with your own telescope. Some of them are even bright enough to see with binoculars. These are all on our website, nasa.gov/Hubble.
And I'd like to mention to our listeners that Hubble does not magnify objects. Hubble is a big light bucket. So for an example, some of these photos we'll be looking at is akin to holding a grain of sand at arm's length and focusing on it for a couple of weeks. I think that's the case with the deep field studies that you all did. We just have another minute before we have to let you go. We know you have a very busy day. Do you have a favorite picture from Hubble?
Well, my favorite image from Hubble in general is what you just mentioned, the ultra deep field.
I love
this. This is where we pointed the Hubble telescope in a direction of the sky that doesn't have many nearby bright stars to kind of drown out the image, and just collected light for several days so that the faintest objects would show up. And in fact, in this image, you see thousands of little fuzzy spots of light. These are not, for the most part, stars in our own galaxy. These are other galaxies. Each one of these little dots of light can contain billions of stars, just like our Milky Way does, hundreds of billions of stars in some of them. So they really give you a visual sense of how enormous our universe is, how beautiful it is. And just to me, it incites the imagination of what it would be like if we could suddenly blink our eyes and go visit any one of these other galaxies and see what their stars are like and see what presumably their planetary systems are like around those stars. It's always very inspirational to me and awe-inspiring when I see the ultra-deep field. Makes me realize that we're all part of something very majestic and amazing in this universe. And I think that's the sense people will get by looking at these new images we've released from the Hubble Space Telescope, these Caldwell catalog images. So I hope everyone will take the moment to go look at the website, nasa.gov/Hubble, look at the Caldwell images. We've already had quite a few posted there from this catalog, and now we've added 30 more to celebrate Hubble's 30th anniversary this year. And we're looking forward to quite a few more years of the Hubble Space Telescope. operating in complement with other observatories like the Webb Telescope, which will launch next year and will be an infrared telescope to complement Hubble. We've got some exciting years of astronomy yet to come here.
Dr. Jennifer Wiseman, continued success with this spectacular program, and thanks so much for joining us this morning on Cool Science Radio.
Thanks for your interest.
Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us, give us a 5, and leave us a comment.
Take us along on your next adventure to the moon.
If you have any story ideas, please let us know at coolscienceradio@kpcw.org.
Thanks for listening, and hey, tune in next week.